Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13. This is the fourth week in this lesson. Nehemiah, chapter 13, and we'll begin at verse 1. On that day, they read in the book of Moses to the audience of the people, and then therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever. Because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. May I say this, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord,
Amen.
Who are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
Verse 3. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so very much for your love and mercy and grace. And Lord, we do pray now that you would bless this time together. And Lord, we do pray for our country, for the upcoming election. Lord, we ask that your will be done. And Lord, as next week we begin our mission conference, we ask that it could be well attended, that it will be of encouragement to us, and may we be a blessing to our guests as they come, and also for our 64th anniversary on October the 25th. Lord, thank you that you used this church for 64 years to spread the gospel. And Lord, we thank you for that opportunity. And Lord, now as we look into Nehemiah and what a life he lived, Lord, may we use him as an example for our own walk. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. There are 12 thoughts that we wanted to give in this lesson. Number one is he knew he was called of God. We've talked about this now for all four lessons. Reminds me of the song, I'm in the Lord's Army. Isn't it good to know we're in the Lord's Army?
Yes.
And that we need to be prepared to be used of the Lord. Point number two was he depended on prayer. And may I say this, the Christian worker who can get along comfortably without prayer is not getting much done for God. And certainly is not threatening the enemy very much. Prayer needs to be part of our life. Number three, he had a vision and saw the greatness of the work. For where there is no vision, the people perish. Number four, he submitted to authority. One of the hardest things humans have to do is submit to authority. And it's the sin that led Satan, Lucifer, aside as he decided he would not listen to the Lord God Almighty. Number five, he was organized in his work. Let's begin reading at verse 10. Verse 10. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled, everyone to his field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil under the treasuries. And I made treasurers over the treasuries. Verse 14, remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. Number six, he was able to discern the tactics of the enemy. And so we find that God's people have to be careful because the enemy's desire is to destroy us. As he goes about as a lion seeking whom he may devour. Let's begin reading at verse 15. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manners of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. What was it about the Sabbath day? They were to do what?
Rest.
They were to rest. Notice, and I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gate should be shut, and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants said I at the gates, that there should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. He was organized. Number six, he was able to discern the tactics of the enemy. Oh, that's the one I just did, isn't it? All right. Moving along, number seven, he worked hard. In the Lord's army, the work is never ending. And we need to continue that. Number eight, he lived an exemplary life, unblemished. Let me detour for just a moment from a magazine that came across my desk a while back. The author writes, you're well aware, I'm sure, of recent scandals and failings of prominent Christian leaders, some of whom were trusted and revered by Christians and non-Christians alike. On every level, we've been disappointed, heartbroken, and frustrated. What should we do? He's referring to different people in the ministry that, well, they have failed. And that's sad, isn't it? But Nehemiah was a man that had a life that was God-honoring. Billy Graham said, we are the Bibles the world is reading. We are the creeds that the world is needing. We are the sermons the world is heeding. Folks, may I say this? The world is watching us. In 1948, Billy Graham began a series of evangelistic meetings in Modesto, California, along with his ministry team comprised of Cliff Barrel and George Beverly Shea and Grady Wilson. Through a series of conversations about ministry, or about ministry life and its challenges, the group met together in Modesto and resolved to uphold the highest standard of biblical morality and integrity. May I say that this is what we need in our churches today? Morality and integrity. And Nehemiah had it. And I believe that we need it. Number nine, he sought to glorify God alone. Is your life such that you are bringing glory to the Lord? Now let's be honest, when we walk out that door and we get into our cars and drive home, we're going in different directions. But is our life such that we are bringing honor and glory to the Lord? And only you can answer that, and I hope then you are doing so. Number 10, he had courage. He had courage. If you would, the book of Nehemiah, once again, chapter 13, beginning at verse 23. Verse 23, in those days also I saw Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each person. And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God. And God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Shall we then hearken unto you to do this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives? He had courage. Which brings us to number 11. This is where we ended last week. He enlisted others to work. He enlisted others to work. I need some help tonight. What's going to happen a week from Sunday? Our church's anniversary, right?
Right.
So what do we need to have in the vestibule for this Sunday?
We have tables.
We need two tables brought up from the basement in the vestibule. I need your help. And he enlisted others to work. True leaders don't try to do everything themselves. Is that okay if I say that?
Yes.
Yes. Warren Wiersbe said, real leaders are not afraid to surround themselves with people who can do some things better than they can. I was not afraid to hire Mel Sharp, even though he was better than me in a lot of things. And he could certainly sing a lot better than me. Don't say amen. And may I say this, I wasn't afraid to hire Stephen Lance, because he can play the piano a lot better than I can. And sing better than I can. And he can preach mighty good. And he's good at the computer. And I say to myself, why should I be afraid to hire someone better than me? Isn't that to my good? And your good? Because we need good workers, right? And so, you know, a true leader is not afraid to enlist others to work. Number 12. He was determined. He was determined. Be determined. See, that is the key, one of the key messages of the book of Nehemiah. He was determined to get the wall built, to put up the gates, to get the Levites and the priests to do what was right, to get the people to live godly lives. Now, I must admit, I've often wondered if I could pluck off hair.
Yeah.
He did. What would you think if you saw someone come in with a bald spot on Sunday? Would you think, oh, Brother Madonna went to their house? No, that's not going to happen. But he did. Notice it. He smote certain of them. He had a burden to see things done. Dr. B. Raymond Edmond, president of Wheaton College a number of decades ago, said, and he would remind his students, it's always too soon to quit. It's always too soon to quit. May I say this? Never quit when it comes to the cause of Christ. Never sit down on the sideline and say, well, that's enough of that. Don't quit. Like Jesus Christ, Nehemiah set his face like a flint and kept on going. Isaiah 50, verses 6 and 7 says, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. When it was his time, he went to what was needed, or went to Jerusalem to get the job done. Luke 9, 62. And Jesus said unto them, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know what that means, not to look back? When you're driving down the road, should you be looking backwards? No, you need to look forward, right? What happens if you look off to the right for a while? You're going the wrong direction, right? What happens if you look off to the left for a while? You're going the wrong direction. We need to look looking forward. The book of Hebrews tells us that we're to look unto the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. Unto Jesus. Nehemiah was determined. Why is it that I can count on certain people to be at church when the doors are open? Why can I count on certain people while others I can only count on them when I see them walk in the building? You think that's true? Why is it? Because commitment, attitude, determination, the church should be important to us. Should be important. Christ died for the church. How do we know that? Because he tells us, right, in the book of Ephesians, that husbands are to love their wives even as Christ also loved the church and what? Gave himself for it. I say this, men, if your wife ever asked you, would you die for me? Don't hesitate. Immediately say yes, and I only wish I could do it once. We should be willing to serve the Lord faithfully. Nehemiah was determined because the work he was doing was a great work. May I say this? The work of the Lord is a great work. Because he was serving a great God. You're not serving me. You're serving the Lord God Almighty, the creator of the universe. Ponder that thought. Because the city was in great reproach. Because he was determined, he was part of a great plan that God had for the world as he worked through the Jewish nation. We are part of a great plan.
Amen.
That men and women can be saved. A great plan. Which brings us to the conclusion. The church today needs leaders, men and women and young people who are determined to accomplish the will of God, come what may. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. The church needs men and women who are willing to say with Nehemiah, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? The Covenant Baptist Church will be celebrating 64 years. But there's no guarantee it could be 70 unless we are determined to make sure that the work continues. And more importantly, may we say as our Lord said in John 17, 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. God the Son came for a reason, and that was to glorify the Heavenly Father and to die on the cross. We have a job to do. Let our testimony be as the Apostle Paul. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Are we in a spiritual battle today?
Yes.
We are. We are in a spiritual battle today. May I say this? We need to finish the course. When people go to college, what is the largest class?
Freshmen.
That's the largest group, right? What's the smallest group?
Seniors.
Seniors.
Seniors. No, people start out with great intentions. But may I say this? They get tired along the way. Finish the course and keep the faith. It's hard sometimes. You become discouraged. You become burdened. But keep our eyes on the Lord. The next time you feel like quitting, remember Nehemiah and stay on the job until the work is finished to the glory of God. You're not doing it for Paul Madonna or for Stephen Lance or for our deacons. It's for the Lord. It's for the Lord. So the conclusion of the conclusion, be determined. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Remain faithful to Him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the thoughts that we've seen in Nehemiah. We thank You for a man like Nehemiah who was willing to stand no matter what came against him. Give us, Lord, that same determination to be used of You. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.